9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 guys, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. So I have a guest joining me today from sunny Florida, and she tells me she's right beside the Kennedy Space Center, so she can see the rockets taking off, okay? So this is how I locate things, by the tourist spots. So her name is June Edward, and June, welcome to Life After Life, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So June is a psychic medium, okay? Now, we'll discuss this in a minute. She calls herself a platform psychic medium. So in the States, people tend to use adjectives that we wouldn't necessarily use over here. So we'll go through some of that. But June had a near-death experience when she was in her 20s, which I also want to talk about. But first of all, June, if it's okay with you, I'd love to ask you a little bit about your background. You know, did you always do mediumship, or did you have a career before you got into the holistic area?
So I'm a recovered serial entrepreneur. I got into real estate when I was 18. I'm a trained chef. I'm a class one cosmetologist. I've owned many restaurants, hair salon, day spa, daycares, large group daycares for children. I owned a construction company, a real estate company. You name it, I've done it. Okay. However, never did I think I'd be doing what I'm doing now. But your life path is what your life path is. It's a matter of listening to your soul. And then you know what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be. So I had a lot of ability as a child, but as a child, most children do, quite honestly, because everyone has mediumship and everyone has psychic abilities. The world we're in tries to stuff that down and tell you you're a freak, but everyone has it. So when I was a kid, I was really afraid because I'd wake up in the morning and hear someone calling my name and nobody around, and I'd see people and faces in my room, and it would really scare me. And as I got older, I would go to school and tell all my friends what was going to happen before it happened, and you get labeled a freak because kids are mean. And as a result of that, I really tried to block my abilities as much as I could. And when I was 10, my dad kidnapped the youngest five of us. I'm one of eight children. And my job was to wash the dishes at night. So every night there would be this woman that would stand there and keep me company, about 45, and I assumed everybody saw her. One night I asked my brother who she was, and he starts laughing and telling me that it's the woman that used to live in the house. Her husband killed her and threw her down the stairs, which was true.
Oh my God.
And it again scared me so much, she never came back. And I really, you know, when you're in fear, you can't do this work. So, you know, we're not the suit that sits here. We are the energetic soul that's inside. But while you're here to live a 3D experience, just like an avatar, okay? And we all have a brain in our head. Our brain is nothing more than a massive computer, but our brain does have a specific job. Our brain's job is to protect us. How does it do that? It creates fear. So if you're making your decisions from fear, literally it's a crapshoot. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you're always questioning yourself. When you get in touch with your soul, that energetic being inside, it's a knowing. You just know you're supposed to do something. You don't question it, and you do it, and it works out fine every time. So I had to get to that place before I could ever do this work, because you have to be able to trust and know what you're doing. And it's just like, so platform medium that I used to do is where you go into front of an audience of 200-300 people and you'd give messages to the audience. Well, if you don't come from that knowing and you're coming from your head in fear or from ego, you're not going to be able to tell people what it is they need. I remember a widow sitting in the front row once, and he wanted to talk to his wife that had passed. So I had him call her in his head three times. And all I saw were two hands coming at me, holding something. And I'm like, oh my God, do I tell them she didn't show up? Do I tell them what I'm seeing? They're going to think I'm nuts. And I'm like, boom, you can't do that. You just got to give what you get. It's that simple and take it from there. So I told them, I said, listen, all I see are two hands holding out what looks to be a prom dress. Because I heard prom dress. He starts bawling his eyes out. He's like, yep, that's my wife. That was her favorite saying every time she left the house. I'm off like a prom dress. So, oh, yeah, yes. you just have to give what you get. And you have to trust. You got to trust the other side. And you've got to know in your soul that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
It's hard, though, because I know even now, it's very hard to just turn off that logical side of your brain and to over-interpret something, you know, and not just give what you get. You know, you want it to be so meaningful that sometimes you overcook it, don't you?
So, no, you can't. So this is why, you know, when you, I always meditate prior to doing anything, because that gets you out of your head. That gets you out of your head and in touch with your soul. That's the first thing I do before I do anything and protect myself. And then the more you do something, the better you get at it. Doesn't matter what it is. So I'm very connected to the souls on the other side. Now, I probably have a little bit of an advantage over some people, okay? It's kind of like a piano. Some people sit down, all they can play is chopsticks. Other people want to play the piano and they'll teach themselves a couple of songs. Other people want to do it as a career. They can become a concert pianist because they really work at it. I'm like your six-year-old prodigy that sits down and does Mozart. So a lot of that I attribute to the fact that I did die when I was 27. So when you think of quantum physics and the speed of light is almost 300 million miles a second. When I died, my soul left my body and went into that light at that speed. That's pretty high vibration. And when I came back into my body, it's at that speed. So my vibration is automatically much higher than most people. And I can connect to the other side literally in a second. And they allow me to go back and forth to that lowest level of heaven, which is the fifth dimension at will. I can go back and forth from there constantly. Which I'm grateful for.
Of course. But I do
believe that the more you do something, the better you get at it. And anyone would have the ability if they continued to apply themselves to it.
Couldn't agree more, 100%. So did I read as well, because this really interested me, did I read somewhere that your mother was also a medium?
She was. So I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. In fact, I'm doing an advanced astrology class. And when I looked at my chart and they were going into the moon, my Mars is opposite my moon. Well, people that have that in their chart when they're born are usually born under like a war condition, literally born under something like that. And literally, that is exactly what it felt like for me growing up. Like I was living in a war zone. Both parents were verbally, physically, mentally, and sexually abusive. They were both hoarders, and they were both much older. My mom gave birth to me at 45, I believe. Wow. They had been married 10 years before they ever started to have children, and I was the fifth one born out of eight. And it was chaotic. In fact, when I got divorced from my first husband, I realized that I was going through PTSD from when I was a child. It's something that I had never dealt with. And my mom, having mediumship abilities and everything, my dad would just tell us she was crazy because it wasn't logical to him. And when he kidnapped us, he claimed that she threw us out. And then I didn't see my mom for probably 11 or 12 years. I invited her to my wedding when I got married and she came. And then it was a strained relationship for a long time because she was very standoffish and carried a lot of guilt, etc. But as a kid, she was searching because she had all this ability and didn't know what to do with it. So we grew up in many, many different churches, Episcopalian, Baptist, Protestant, I was the only non-Catholic in a Catholic school. My sister ended up being Hindu. And she was just trying to find answers everywhere. So when my abilities finally opened up about 10 or 11 years ago, I ended up training at the same places she had trained at 50 years earlier. And some of the people that were there were as old as she was in her 90s and remembered her.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, because there can be, it's getting bigger now, but there can be a small little group of people, you know, especially back then. But like that really resonated with me because my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, all through our family, they were all psychic mediums. So, you know, this is something. Now, people think it makes you a better medium. Personally, I don't think so. Yeah. I think that I was probably aware of it younger, but it doesn't make me better, you know.
No, it's a matter of practice. Yeah, it's a matter of practice. It's like anything else, you know. No one's a good skateboard rider, right? I would probably fall and break my face. But if I throw on all my protection and I go out there and try using that skateboard because I really want to do it, I guarantee you I'll do it because I really want to and I'll be good at it. It's what you wanted, what you want to achieve, basically. And you know what? Everyone on the other side that you don't see, all those souls, they're rooting for you. They're going to help you. They're going to give you information. They want nothing more for you to succeed in anything you want in this world.
I agree 100%. Would it be okay if I asked you about your near-death experience, about what, you know, what it felt like, what you saw when you left your body? Because that's just like, you know, so interesting.
So first of all, I'd never even heard the term near-death experience until a few years ago. Okay. And I certainly never considered it that because I knew I died. That was it. I died. And so I was going in for, I had hurt my back when I was 22 and I needed surgery. And I just knew that if I had surgery, I was going to die. I knew it. I put it off as long as I could. I put it off for 5 years until they told me I had no choice. And the night before I went in, I told everybody, listen, I'm going to die. And they're like, no, you're just afraid, you'll be fine, blah, blah, blah. So the night before the surgery, I had an MRI test done with contrast dye. And I told them, I said, I think I'm allergic to this. I had it once before, had a really bad reaction. I couldn't get off the table. Oh, you'll be fine. That's the same. Everybody has that reaction. I'm like, okay, what do I know, right? I'm not the doctor. Well, neither was he. He was a resident. As soon as they administered it, what I've found out, I've done some studying on NDEs now because I was going to do a TEDx talk, and they lump everything into an NDE. So for instance, if you're in a car accident, your soul knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. Your soul's too big for the body. Some of it's in your body. Some of it's over your body that people can see, and they call it the aura. The majority of your soul is in the fifth dimension, the lowest level of heaven. It has all the knowledge of all your lifetimes, and it orchestrates the timing of the events in this lifetime. So if you were going to get in a serious car accident, your soul knows it. It jumps out of your body, literally, so that you're not feeling all of that pain and impact. And then when the paramedics will come, you'll go back into it. It's not your time to die. You really didn't die. You're not going to die. But that's all lumped into the NDEs. Yeah. So everybody has a little bit of a different experience when it happens. Some people see a tunnel of light, all kinds of different things. I did not. I immediately was taken to heaven, which I know to be the lowest level of heaven, the fifth dimension. I was just there immediately. And yes, it's amazing there. It is white, beautiful. They've given me glimpse of what some other sections of heaven look like because it's like a layer cake as they described it to me. And we go to the level based on our belief system and how advanced our soul is. So, it is, and I can go back and forth to the fifth at will. The Akashic Records room are kept there that I can go into at any time. And it is beautiful. But more than that, the two things that you take with you, I used to say was love and knowledge because I felt overwhelmed with love. It was just not even something you can describe in words. But now that I do this work, you take all of your feelings with you. I've brought many souls through that are still in grief, anger, remorse, all kinds of feelings. This is why they don't want your soul to feel that if you're going to be in an accident or be injured, because you would take that pain with you as well. They don't want you to do that. But when I got there, I could see everything that was happening. I could see my body. I saw the crash cart, injecting the line, doing the paddles, not having any luck with anything. And the guy's panicking. He's got the bed tipped up. He's slapping me. I'm not there. I can hear the nurses at the station outside talking about it. I can hear the people in the back and everything that's going on all through the hospital I can hear. But I'm focusing on the front because they're giving me a full life review. And it's like sitting in the front row of an IMAX theater. And the only thing that they were showing me were all of the happy times in my life, all the people that were good to me and loved me. And I don't know if they were doing that because they wanted me to come back. I don't know. Because other people tell me that they see different things in their life review. I don't know. Everybody has a little bit of a different experience.
Of course.
And it was just so incredible. I wanted to stay. And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to stay. And then I remembered I have two children because they weren't showing me that in my life review. Mm-hmm. I remembered that I had two children at the time and they brought me so much joy. And I knew that I had come back this time for my children. And as soon as I made that decision, I was back in my body in a second. And I hadn't had my third son yet. So, yeah. That's and I couldn't talk about it. For years, I couldn't talk about it because as soon as I would start, the feelings would come back and I would just start bawling my eyes out. Oh. And a lot of people that have the experience that I had end up taking their own life because when you come back down here to this low vibration, they're unable to get that feeling back. So you can, anybody that's listening that's had an NDE or a death experience, you can get that feeling back through meditation. Because when you get in touch with the rest of your soul that's still there, you get that feeling that it's the highest high you could ever imagine in your life. It's just incredible. But you can get that back through meditation. Absolutely.
Wow. So can I just go back a little bit? So were you aware? So it sounds like you were kind of, you know, that feeling where you're on the ceiling and you're looking down at everything happening around you. No.
So those are souls that have not gone to heaven. That's just an out of body experience.
Okay.
So that's the difference. They lump all those in. Yeah. I was physically in heaven in the fifth dimension. And I was told as I'm watching the movie, someone behind me, I did not turn around, said to me, it's not really your time. You can stay if you want to, or you can go back. It's your choice. And what I found from researching NDEs is that less than 10% of the people that have an NDE get to the fifth dimension where I went to. Mm-hmm. Less than that get a full life review. And next to no one is told it's their choice that they could stay or come back. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. So you went through this in your 20s. And so was it after this that you started to embrace the spirituality that you'd felt from when you were young?
So no. So I've always been spiritual, and that just means that there's a higher power. I always felt and knew that there was something else. But for me, quite honestly, rosaries, statues, saints, angels, it's all a bunch of fairy tale stuff as far as I was concerned. Yeah. After I died, it's real. You can't question it at that point. You know it's real. You know there's a heaven. You know there's more beyond. So it just got me really curious. So I started going on haunted vacations. And I hit every major place in the United States, the Queen Mary, Alcatraz Prison, the Wally House, you know, obscure places, the haunted Toys R Us, I mean, the Winchester Mansion, any place that was known to be haunted, I wanted to go check it out. Yeah. And what was happening when I was doing that was my senses were getting opened back up. So I was starting to see the energy again. I was starting to see the orbs, things like that. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, and I can do it again now, but I could literally see the wind. The wind is energy. I could see it as a child, and I can see it again now. So, you know, while we're in this body, there's reasons that most people don't see it, okay? Again, most of it has to do with your brain protecting you with fear. If you weren't so afraid, you'd feel and see a lot more. When my dad was dying at 93, I would go up to visit him all the time, and he says to me one day, I want to talk to you about what you do. I'm like, really? Okay, what do you want to know? He goes, well, I want to know why for the last few months, When I wake up in the morning, I see my mother standing beside the bed. I said, well, it's about time, Dad. She's been here for like a year. Well, what I want to know is, why doesn't she stay? Why does she disappear after I've been awake for a couple seconds? I said, Dad, she didn't disappear. She's still here. I said, your brain is what's stopping you from seeing her because you just can't believe it's really happening. I said, she's still here, I promise. But that's what happens to most people. And, you know, it's just like color. Color doesn't really exist. You have people that are colorblind. They don't see color. They see in shades of gray. The only reason we see color is because our eyes are picking up the reflection of the light. So it's the same thing with energy. When you tune yourself in to reading energy and feeling energy, everyone's walked into a funeral and felt that low energy. And they've walked into a wedding or birthday party and felt that high energy. You know, you sit next to a fire, you feel the heat coming off. So when you tune your body into picking up on that energy, you'll start feeling and seeing more of what's around you that you don't really realize is there.
Yeah, I mean, I know people can't see me, but I'm nodding away because, you know, and people that have been listening to the podcast will have heard me say this numerous times. Everybody sees spirit. You're going about your daily business. You might see a figure or a shadow or something come into your peripheral vision. The first thing you do is get a fright and your energy shuts down, you know. But if you can get past that first shock, if you like, and maintain the energy, then you will connect with spirit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you may not even know you. Sometimes you may not even know. I was in the grocery store one day and there was, you know, a guy near the front door who looked like an old drunk. And I had to stop for a second because I wasn't sure if he was a spirit or a man. Because if they haven't gone into the light and they're ghosts that are stuck here, they have the same energetic vibration as a living human being. And he saw me stop for a second and look at him. And that's all it took. He's like, you can see me. And I'm like, I'm not working. And he got angry and he picked up a package of like hot dog buns that were at display at the door and threw it at me. And it only went maybe 3 or 4 feet, but the poor woman at the register saw this package. So all she saw was the package fly off the shelf towards me. She's like, oh my God, did you see that? And I'm like, yep. And I kept walking.
It's too hard to explain sometimes, isn't it? But yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, and you know, I feel sorry for spirits like that that are hanging around waiting for somebody to notice them and to acknowledge them. Yeah. Like that must be so hard. So let's go back a little bit, because we mentioned at the beginning the different adjectives, because, you know, in the States, here we would just say a psychic medium, okay? But in the States, you've got evidential psychic medium, platform psychic medium, several different adjectives that you use. So you say that you're a platform psychic medium. So this is where we stand on stage and we give messages to people, you know, in the audience. So do you still do that?
I haven't done it in a few years. If a company wanted to hire me again for something, I would probably do it again. But I don't need to any longer. So, yeah, yes. I've moved on to other things. I right now, I'm a relationship expert. So I've created a 7-week program to help people understand how energy works, change their vibration, balance it, maintain the law of attraction, and change all the relationships in their life, whether it's business, family, friends, or an intimate relationship. And I only work with one person. That's it. I don't do couples. It only takes one person to make or break anything in life, because for every action, there's an equal or greater reaction. And that from that program, I came out with my latest best-selling book, All's Fair in Love and Karma, because I identified 3 types of relationships that exist and the 5 reasons that we're all here. And if we don't learn these 5 lessons, we just keep repeating the same relationships over and over until we learn these lessons. It's that simple. And once you learn these lessons, you can really look at your life from a much higher perspective, understand why you're making the choices that you're making and why certain people were in your life or are in your life.
Okay, so it's kind of going back to the soul plan at the same time and your soul family and all the rest of it. So where did the shift happen from psychic medium to kind of, I don't know, would you call yourself a relationship coach?
Relationship expert.
Expert, I beg your pardon. Yeah. So where did that shift happen?
So like most people that are starting out in this business or industry, you start out reading cards at fairs and things, right? Because you want to make sure that you're giving people accurate information. It's practice. And everyone was coming to me with relationship questions. Seems to be the number one question, right? After murder and missing people, it's, you know, it's relationships, right? And then I heard from the other side that, you know, I need to do something with relationships. So the first thing I did was created a Facebook page. And you know, I created it for advice and I got nothing. I changed it to relationship advice. I got flooded. I had like 30,000 people on it till Facebook started knocking everyone off. And then I heard that I need to do videos for people about relationships. I'm like, okay. So I scripted out everything for 10 different videos, divorce, blended families, aging parents, retirement. I covered everything. And I literally got a camera crew and professionally filmed these 10 videos. Now I'm like, what am I supposed to do with them now? I don't know. No answers. I put them on my website, put them on the Facebook page. I don't have a clue. A year later, fast forward, they tell me I need to make a program. I'm like, a program? Okay. So this program was actually divinely created with me and the angels. And it only works. It only works if they do it in order in a timely manner. I've had some students that have had to do the program over 2 and 3 times because they skipped around and they didn't do it in order and they didn't do it in a timely manner. If you do it in order in a timely manner, your energy shifts. It's the highest high in the world. We've got to pull them off the ceiling. Then you balance and then you maintain that law of attraction. And you learn the 5 lessons that you're here for. And everything in your life takes a 180-degree turn. I could tell you story after story. If you go to my website, juneedward.com, there's videos on there from probably a handful of my students. One woman wanted to marry the father of a child. Well, within 6 months, she had 5 marriage proposals. One of them happened to be his.
Wow.
Another gentleman... ended up in prison, small farmer, ended up selling off someone else's cows that because he needed the money. He was in, you know, a very small town and went to prison for 6 months, lost everything, lost all his friends, lost the money, lost his wife. She divorced him. His kids wouldn't talk to him. He was ready to take his own life when he found me. Well, he went through the program. His kids came back and backed him. He started paying back all of his neighbors and friends and explained what happened to them. They all rallied around him. He wrote a book within a year about his prison experience. And then he got out of the farming industry. He always wanted to have a food truck. He started a food truck. 2 years later, he's got a restaurant. Wow. And it took him 2 or 3 years for his wife to come around, but they're dating.
He's ex-wife.
Everything he wanted, anything you want comes back to you when you understand why it's all happening.
And it's the understanding. And you mentioned your book. You actually have 4 books, is that right?
I do, yeah. My first book, A Night on the Other Side, teaches everyone what I used to teach in psychic development and mediumship development. So it will tell you what you need to do to enhance your own abilities. It's kind of a guidebook.
Okay.
And then my autobiography I wrote as well.
Is that Dancing in the Universe?
That's Dancing with the Universe, right? Yep. Yeah. I wrote that for everybody that said, oh, you never don't know what I've been through. Yeah, let's match it.
Let's compare notes. And then last year then, you brought out 2 books, The Destiny Card Journal. Tell us what that's about.
Correct. So the Destiny cards are your regular deck of playing cards. They're thousands of years old. And they're called the cards of the Magi. The Magi were the advisors to the rulers thousands of years ago. The book to read those cards had been held by the Knights Templar for thousands of years, and it fell into the Catholic Church hands in the late 1700s, early 1800s. They didn't want people to understand the power of these cards, so they created parlor games like Go Fish and Rummy. So a Gregorian calendar that we use in most of the world is based off of those cards. There's 52 weeks in the year. There's 52 cards in the deck. If you add them up numerically, they come to 364. Your Joker has a numeric value of 1 1/4. So you have your 365 days of the year and your leap year. You have 4 seasons. You have 4 suits. You have the red and the black signifying the day and the night. You have 12 cards You have 12 cards in each suit of the 12 months of the year, and you have 13 court cards, and those are the 13 moon cycles. So everyone's life breaks down into 13-year cycles, 7-year cycles, 7-week cycles, 7-day cycles, and yearly cycles. When you're born with a birth card and a planetary ruling card. And then most people have a third planet, it's called a Dukkante ruler, that has a lot of influence from when they were born. And the cards are extremely accurate. It describes people to a T. People like horoscopes, you know, you're a Gemini. Well, this breaks it down so much more than that. And I can look at people's cycles and tell them what's happening. If there's something coming up with your job, something coming up with your marriage, if you're going to have another child, if there's going to be, you know, maybe a death in the family, anything like that. The cards are extremely accurate when you're able to read them.
Wow.
So the Destiny Card Journal kind of describes by your birthday a little bit about your card. And so if I'm born June 4th, so I am a King of Diamonds. So there's probably 12 or 13 other dates throughout the year that are a King of Diamonds. So on each of those dates, the King of Diamonds would still apply to you, even though it's not your birth date, it's your birth card. So I put different things about the King of Diamonds under each of those dates so people can learn more about that person. And I explain in the front of the book how it works. But your journal is for you to be writing down the intentions that you have. I recommend everyone write their intentions into their journal on a new moon. These are the things that you want the universe to help you with and you want to manifest in your life. And then on a full moon, you write them on a separate piece of paper and take it outside and ask the angels to help you and burn it under the full moon. And I got to tell you, I have to keep coming up with stuff because they just keep bringing it and bringing it and bringing it.
Well, if they're giving it to you, you have to pass it on. And then your more recent book, which you mentioned earlier, All's Fair in Love and Karma. So who is this book for? And it's newly released. It was only released last November. So who is this book for?
It's for everyone. So they understand the why behind the relationship. Why can't you hold on to money in your life? Why does it just keep passing through your hands? Why were you in this relationship for 5 years and then all of a sudden you woke up one morning and said, why am I here? Yeah. It's for everyone. It's for absolutely everyone who wants to understand a little bit more about their relationships. And relationship is everything. Business is relationship, your friends, your family, your lover. They're all relationship. Everyone in your life is a relationship.
And everything, as you say, they're all relationships. But when you say relationship to somebody, they immediately think intimate or romantic relationship.
Right. And that's so not always the case. Yeah. I mean, you even have relationships with your dog.
Right? Oh, absolutely. 100%. So I love that. And so the videos are only available through your program, but you do have a free webinar that people can watch.
They can sign up on my website. They can sign up for the free webinar, learn a little bit more about energy. And then if they're interested in more information on the Relationship Mastery Program, they can sign up for a free call with me and we can see if they're a good fit for the program.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I suppose before people ring you, we should ask, because I'm in Ireland and a lot of people would be listening to this from Ireland and the UK primarily. So is it online? Can they do this program online?
It is. The whole program is online. You can actually do it on an app on your phone. It's that easy.
Oh, brilliant.
There are a lot of books that you need to listen to an audio tape. There's videos to watch. There is only 2 or 3 books, I think, that you have to actually order that are not available in audio format. But yeah.
But everything's online.
Everything's online.
Like that's perfect. I want to ask you about this before I let you go. And I'm sorry now if this is getting too much into it. But I saw this and I think, you know, this will interest everybody. And you have written somewhere that sex is just another form of communication. Now, this is probably something that you cover in your program, but I just wanted to bring it up for people because it'll give them an idea of, you know, the things, you know, that they can expect to talk about. And you say that there's 3 tools for us to enjoy sex. Would you share one with us?
So trust and communication is one of the lessons that we all have to learn. And trust is a few things. Trust, first of all, is trusting that there is a higher power. Doesn't matter what you want to call it. There's 1,764 recognized religions just in the United States. So when you get to the other side, there's only one. But you have to know that there is a higher power. You also have to trust that you created the plan. Your plan is what you created. So if you don't like it, you don't have anybody to blame but yourself. If you're not on your path and you're a little too stubborn, then the universe will step in and give you a little shove to get you where you're supposed to be. You may not like that either. But hindsight's great. You can always look behind you and see how one thing led to the next, led to the next, led to the next, and brought you exactly where you are. And you have to learn how to communicate your wants and your needs to the people in your life. Doesn't matter if it's your partner, if it's your boss, if it's your children. People don't know by osmosis. You have to learn how to communicate. And this is where sex is just another form of communication. Because if you cannot trust that person and communicate to them outside the bedroom, you're not going to now suddenly do it inside the bedroom. It doesn't work that way. It has to be in forms. Yeah. Has to go both ways.
And I often wonder if that's a female thing more than
male. It's not. No, absolutely not. So men and women are very different. Men are very visual. Women are very cerebral. So in order to get a woman in bed, basically, you've got to get to her head first. Okay? This is where the romance comes. Okay? Yeah. Hi, sweetheart. Yeah. Can we go to dinner? Candles. Love you. Blah, blah, blah. Guys, on the other side, if you're walking around in your house in sweatpants, burn them. Wearing pajamas to bed, burn them. No, 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 no. Men are very visual. This is why a lot of them will watch porn, just because, you know, they need to get worked up first, because they're looking at you walking around in your sweatpants. Or, you know, how would you like it if he was walking around the house? He works in the sewer and he's walking around the house all covered in his sewer crap or his paint things or is ripped this. It's not attractive, you know? And it's just the way we're built. We're different. We are very different. It's just how it is. Guys, you know, if you want to get a guy to talk to you, get him to look at you first. It's that simple. Hey, babe, how do you like this negligee I got? Woo, honey, that's really nice. Well, now you've got the conversation going, don't you?
That's all you need for most of them. That's fine. That's the romance. So, look, I'm glad I even asked that question, because I think now I'm even clearer. You know, this program isn't just for people who are in relationships that are struggling. This is for men or women who are trying to find new relationships, who are trying to, you know, inject new romance into relationships, who need to get out of an old relationship and into a new one. So this mastery course, generally, it covers everybody and every kind of relationship.
It does. And quite honestly, lately, I've had just business people taking it, because, again, business is relationship. You're in relationship with your employees, with your competition, with your customers. And when you change your energy and you understand the law of attraction, you bring in better customers, you bring in better employees, and you're able to get things flowing much, much better.
And I was telling June before we started recording that I'm married 25 years this year in 2024. So maybe I should do this program to maybe inject a little bit more back into the relationship after 25 years.
So what happens, just so everybody understands the mechanic and the science behind it again, because I'm big on the science. Sure. We're like magnets. We're either repelling or attracting at any given time. And when you're in an intimate relationship or even a family relationship that's that close, over time, the energy builds up, the magnets flip, and instead of attracting, you're repelling. If you separate for a while, the energy dies down, you can attract again, but it will keep happening faster and faster. It's a cycle. So the only way to stop that from happening is balancing your energy. And because you're on the same energetic thread, it's just like a radio station. You can't get the station in unless you're on that frequency, right? Everyone that's in your life is on the frequency that you're on. So when you balance your energy, they'll balance their energy. And it only takes one person to do it. And when you raise your vibration, they'll raise their vibration, or they're going to drop off because they don't belong with you. One of the two.
But you don't recommend, or do you recommend? I know you don't recommend people coming as a couple, but would you recommend to people taking the program separately? No.
Nope, they don't need to. They don't need to. So in every relationship, there's a leader and a follower. In every relationship. And it's the leader that always ends up coming to me, the person that's in charge of the relationship, to take the program. And what happens is the other person is just so stunned on what the heck is going on, why they've changed so much. The first person usually teaches the second person. And now I have people teaching their children.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I'm definitely going to be watching that. Definitely going to be watching that webinar, okay? Because I think there's so much, that I can learn from it. And, you know, June has a lot of things on her website. She's saying, you know, how to reattract your partner, how to save your relationship, how to get out of the trap of an abusive relationship, you know, learn how to stop triggering people. Like, there's so much in this program. So I would definitely tell people to go and have a look at the webinar. And then if you have more questions, contact June directly. I will put all of the links that you need to the webinar, to her website, to all her books, which you can get on Amazon. Everything will be in the description box that is attached to this podcast here. Okay. June, thank you so much for joining us and for explaining that. And you know what? I love, because like, there are a lot of psychic mediums in the world. And I do love that, you know, Spirit have taken you in this direction, because this is obviously where your talent lies. And, yeah. You know, if you don't mind me mentioning it, and not being smart saying it, but you mentioned during the podcast about your first husband. So even on, you know, a human level, you have an awful lot of life experience. And that's why why I love to ask people about their background, because life experience is so important in any holistic modality. You know, so you're bringing a lot.
You got to walk a mile in somebody's shoes, right? I couldn't help people if I hadn't gone through half the crap that I've been through in my life. That's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. And thank you for sharing it with us. I mean, you've been very open, and I appreciate that, you know, and it was lovely to chat with you. So guys, for now, I'm going to say goodbye to June. As I say, check out the description box attached to this podcast. I'll have all the links that you need in there. Okay. And please feel free to reach out and contact June, because she is so relatable. You know, she's just very down to earth and so relatable. And as I say, she's been there, and she's, if she hasn't been there herself, she's met a million people that have been there. Okay. So check it out and take care of yourselves. I will see you in the next episode of Life After Life. So until then, take care and stay safe.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.